but she likes a laugh. And one woman's daddy is another gal's pal. Oh, oh, they never see it happen. I bet I look like a girl to them. Girl to them. Girl to them.
Yes, you heard that right. She calls me daddy. This is J.D. Doyle, and welcome to part one of this month's edition of Out Radio. That song comes from a very out-of-the-closet CD, which I love. I love its spirit, and I love its message. The artist is Diana DeGioia, and she gave her CD and her act the very appropriate name of Out Late. On this segment of Out Radio, I'll be talking with her, and a little later with another debut artist, Ryan States, and we'll hear about his album called Strange Town. But first to Diana and Out Late.
This is my story, the humorous take on my story. As someone who came out late, it's kind of like being late to the party. One piece of that is not wanting to pass, and another piece is going back to recapture earlier experience by rewriting it with a lesbian storyline.
How did you pick the name for your CD?
It just struck me as being a clever way of telling my story into words, because so many of the songs are about my experience coming out late as a lesbian, which is actually the majority experience in my generation.
How old were you when you came out?
I was 37 when I started the process, and it was a process.
Yeah, I know.
I was
29.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I liked about the album, is that it was so reflective from that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I especially liked Bring Me Back to 17, because, of course, I consider that I lost 10 years of my life that I wasn't acting as a human being should act.
Right. Well, you know, I wasn't my most authentic self. I missed out on being young and gay. I missed out on being a teenage lesbian. And even though I'm sure when I was a teenager in the late 70s and the early 80s, it was no picnic. There was plenty of prejudice, and there was plenty of hate, and there was plenty of ostracizing that happened. In my version, it's going to be different. So I'm going to write that with my own fantasy land. That's my alternative reality of what I wanted to experience as a 17-year-old lesbian.
Bring me back to 17, but bring me back queer. Give me some boycott blue jeans, some biceps, and no fear. My best friend and I were always in love. Now we'll make it perfectly clear. I wanna go back to 17. I wanna go back queer. All those wild hormones could have fueled a wild time in my very own alternate universe, where dykes are accepted just fine, where girls go for girls and kiss in the halls, setting themselves on fire. Couldn't we know? Didn't we know? We were made to follow our heart's desire. Bring me back to 17, but bring me back queer. Give me a butchy haircut and a labrys on my ear. Send my parents to Montreal for the entire school year. I wanna go back to 17. I wanna go back queer. I used to say there was no way I would ever wanna go back to the shyness and angst and uncertainty with which 17 is racked. But I long for a taste of my young queer self, and from here it is safe to pretend that if you leave out the boys, what's left are the joys of making it with your best friend. Bring me back to 17, but bring me back queer. Give me a rock and roll band hand and a sexy butchie leer. Let me go riding around in cars, chasing girls both far and near. I wanna go back to 17, I wanna go back queer. Thank God it's the times are a-changing, and young girls are getting the breaks. They won't waste their youth or run from the truth, and they'll learn from our mistakes. But with all of those boyfriends behind me, I still wanna know what I missed. Had I felt so free, that a girl like me could have given me my first kiss. Bring me back to 17, but bring me back queer. Give me a P-flag friendly high school where no one will interfere. Let me be the me I have finally found for just one of those teenage years. I wanna go back to 17, I wanna go back queer. Bring me back to 17, but bring me back gay. Give me a chance at the high school dance for Janie and I to slip away. In the Chevy's back seat, our lips will meet, our fingers will learn how to stray. I wanna go back to 17, I wanna go back gay. Bring me back to 17, but bring me back queer. Give me a sleeveless t-shirt, some biceps, and no fear. My best friend and I were made for each other, now we'll make it perfectly clear. I wanna go back to 17, I wanna go back queer. Bring me back to 17, but bring me back queer. I wanna go back to 17, I wanna go back queer.
Is there an overall message to your CD?
I would have to say, don't be afraid of who you are, and don't be afraid to talk about it. And I think that there's a neutering that happens sometimes when gay and lesbian folk try to put their art or writing out into the mainstream world, because we don't want to be too edgy or too in your face. And that's a shame, because this is where we really have an opportunity to be ourselves on all levels. I mean, we have stories to tell that haven't been told yet. And when we're trying to pass in our music or in our art, those stories stay untold. And I want to be out there with them, and I want to be funny with them, and I want to be as queer as I feel in my music and in my lyrics.
Well, I'm a big proponent of out lyrics, out of the closet lyrics. I love that. And I often tell people, one reason I feel that way is I was like 30 years old before I ever heard a song that really spoke to me.
Right.
So now that I do radio and can control what I play, boy, I'm going to play the most out-of-the-closet stuff I can.
Right.
Some artists have told me, well, they don't want to limit their appeal. They want to appeal to the most people. So if they use male-to-male or female-to-female, it would cut out part of the audience, and I say BS.
Right. You're never going to please everybody. Decide who you really are and write from that perspective. Sing from that perspective. We are in a world now where there are a bazillion genres of music. There are a million stories and points of view out there. You're only ever going to attract a slice of the public. It may as well be a slice of the public who really gets you and who really is hungry for the story that you are telling.
Which song on the album has the deepest meaning for you?
Deepest meaning, like emotionally, or? Well, Kiss Me Face, for all that it's a lighthearted romp, every line of it is so poignant for me because that really is the story of my first kiss with my now wife. And even though I put humor in it and kind of made it into this lighthearted thing, the meaning is very, very deep.
You had to do it, you had to find. Were you the kind of woman who could leave it all behind? My arms were around you, a state of grace. And you went ahead and gave me your kiss me face. The signs were there, if I knew how to look. I was just a little fishy trolling after your hook. I wondered, could this be the time and place? And you went ahead and gave me your kiss me face. I was married to Harry, you were married to Tom. We'd been dicking around for way too long. I thought I knew the rules and could set the pace, but you had to go and give me that kiss me face. I thought that your lips would pull me through. The kissing you was all I'd need to know how to do. The rest would come easy once I got a taste. Once you went ahead and gave me your kiss me face. It's happened before, it'll happen again. A woman falls in love with her best friend. Your breath on my neck sent me to outer space. Then you went ahead and gave me your kiss me face. Without a trace, when you went ahead and gave me your kiss me face. You were married to Harry, I was married to Tom. We've been dicking around for way too long. I thought I knew the rules and could set the pace, but you had to go and give me that kiss me face. I thought that your lips would pull me through. The kissing you was all I'd need to know how to do. The rest will come easy now I've had a taste. So go ahead and give me your kiss me face.
And the other one would be, a part of me knows I'm whole. That song really is about the voices in my head, all the different parts of me, and some of those parts, you know, they say everyone has an inner critic and everyone has an inner child and you have your dad in there somewhere and your mom, all these voices and parts of ourselves that have opinions or commentary on what we're doing or feel strongly about something. And even with all that push and pull, there is in there a very strong part of me that knows that I am one unified whole and I'm okay the way I am. And I'm good enough, and I'm, you know, I'm just fine. And so that song has deep meaning for me because, like everybody, I didn't always know that. I didn't have that clarity my whole life.
It can feel like a life by committee. It can feel like an unruly mob. It can seem like every little wound adds up to an endless repair job. There's the self I love, and the self I love, and there's everything in between. And somehow, somewhere, now and then, there's this moment serene. But a part of me knows I'm whole. There'll be a hundred feelings that try to propel me down a thousand different roads. But each distraction is a call to action. A part of me knows I'm whole.
Are you performing these songs live?
I am. I'm performing in Provincetown a fair amount, which, as most people know, is a lesbian and gay vacation mecca. And even the folks who live there year-round, the non-vacationers, are very open to arts and culture and music from a queer perspective, which is lovely and has definitely influenced my writing.
When you perform, which song gets the most audience reaction?
People love Butch Daddy Blues. That gets a big reaction from both men and women and transgender folk, I'm sure.
Can you talk about that song?
Butch Daddy Blues is, so many blues songs are written from this strutting male heterosexual perspective where the whole song is thinly veiled sexual metaphors. And it just occurred to me to have a lesbian version of that. And once I had that idea, it was great fun to write the song.
I'm your big butch daddy, the one you always hoped you'd find. I'm your big butch daddy, baby, the one you always hoped you'd find. I know when you like it naughty, baby, and I know when you like it kind. I'm your big butch daddy, you can see it in my eyes. I'm your sexy butch daddy, baby, you can see it in my eyes. When we pass that smoking look between us, it sparks a fire between your thighs. I'm your butch daddy, baby, I may not look it, but it's true. I'm your sexy butch daddy, baby, I may not look it, but it's true. When you're laying hot beside me, my fingers know just what to do. I can play you like the blues. I'm your sweet butch daddy, baby, and I can play you like the blues. When I press my lips against you, I use my tongue to light your fuse. I'm your butch daddy, baby, and daddy's work is never done. I'm your badass butch daddy, baby, and daddy's work is never done. I gotta get mama out of that kitchen now, so we both can have some fun. I'm your big butch daddy, but you can be my daddy too. I'm your sexy butch daddy, baby, but you can be my daddy too. You know it takes a butch daddy to bring the daddy out in you.
The other one that gets a big reaction is Chrissy Hynde is a Lesbian in My Head. And the surprising thing for me, many people do remember Chrissy Hynde. She was a great, you know, rock diva of the 80s as the lead singer of the Pretenders. And she's got a new album out also that's getting great critical reviews now. But even people who don't know who Chrissy Hynde is get a kick out of the song. And some people write it as, in their head, as that woman that they wish had been a lesbian, whether that was some celebrity or whether it was someone down the street.
To me, that's the obvious attention getter on the album.
Right. Yeah, when I've had downloads purchased on CD Baby, which is just recently because I just set it up that people could buy individual songs, that's the song that people want. Yeah.
So was Chrissy Hynde a crush of yours?
Yeah, she was a crush of mine before I knew that I had girl crushes. Oh, I have a great story to tell about that song.
Go ahead.
This is something that happened just recently. I performed that song at the Muse restaurant in Provincetown over President's Day weekend in February. So I was amazed that the place was packed. And after I got off the stage, this guy came over from the bar and sat at my table. And he said, I can't believe you just did that song. That song was great. You are not going to believe this. Chrissy Hynde is my next door neighbor. And I said, you're kidding me. Where do you live? He said, Akron, Ohio. She owns a vegetarian restaurant there, and she lives in my building. So I asked him if he would bring her a copy of the CD, and he agreed to do so.
No reaction, though, yet, huh?
I haven't heard from her yet. I sent a letter. I got his email address and sent a letter to go with it. I just wanted to know that it's meant with all due respect. And really, I love that she was putting this tough girl thing out there in the music field in the 80s when other women like Pat Benatar were kind of totally sexing it up. She was doing really the butch version, even if it was the straight butch version.
A lesbian in my head. I don't want to think about her in bed unless it's with a girl, Patti Smith or Joan Jett. Chrissy Hynde is a lesbian in my head. Chrissy Hynde is a lesbian in my head. I don't want to think about her in bed unless it's with a girl, Patti Smith or Joan Jett. Chrissy Hynde is a lesbian in my head. Chrissy has bravado and it gives her class. Plus, you always know that she could kick your ass. Boys don't want to get her and it makes her sneer. Every dyke that sees her gonna pray she's queer. Chrissy Hynde is a lesbian in my head. I don't want to think about her in bed unless it's with a girl, Patti Smith or Joan Jett. Chrissy Hynde is a lesbian in my head. We had the Ramones and the New York Dolls, Sex Pistols and the Clash, but they all had balls. Them girls with attitudes were too far and too few, but they showed us wannabes that we had something to prove. Chrissy Hynde is a lesbian in my head. I don't want to think about her in bed unless it's with a girl, Patti Smith or Joan Jett. Chrissy Hynde is a lesbian in my head. She could play so precious on that rhythm guitar, on the stage, on the screen, in the video bar. Move over, sitting Johnny, better stop your sob. You should never send a man to do a woman's job. Chrissy Hynde is a lesbian in my head. I don't want to think about her in bed unless it's with a girl, Patti Smith or Joan Jett. Chrissy Hynde is a lesbian in my head. In her red leather jacket and her tight black jeans, she's a punk rock goddess, she's a bad girl queen. Even if I never get to take her to bed, Chrissy Hynde is a lesbian in my head.
Chrissy Hine is a lesbian in my head. I don't want to think about her in bed unless it's with a girl, Patti Smith or Joan Jett. Chrissy Hine is a lesbian in my head. Chrissy Hine is a lesbian in my head. I don't want to think about her in bed unless it's with a girl, Patti Smith or Joan Jett. Chrissy Hine is a lesbian in my head.
Again, that was Diana DeGioia, and you can find her at www.myspace.com/outlatemusic. My other artist for this segment is Ryan States. He's a very experienced professional musician, and as a teaser, I'll tell you that he performs in front of 60 to 120,000 people each week. We'll hear about that later, but what attracted my attention was his debut album. It's called Strange Town.
Strange Town is a record that I made on the circus train where I live, because I'm a sideman with a circus. And so I wanted to prove that a record could be made in this way. And I wanted it to be something very personal and introspective, musically and stylistically. And I wanted to do a throwback to the 80s at a time where music wasn't very out and gay artists weren't out. I wanted to fill a void for anyone who grew up in that time. And this is music that I wish that I could have heard.
Tell me about I Will Find My Way.
I Will Find My Way is the oldest song that, you know, I wrote this song a long, long time ago when I was actually an LDS missionary. I was called to serve in Wyoming and Montana. And this is the first area that I was in, and it was Butte, Montana. So if anybody knows anything about Butte, Montana, it's this old mining town, and we were renting a house, and it had this old upright piano. Most of the keys worked, and I wrote the song on that piano because it was at transfers time, and, you know, my companion, or not companion, like I would use the term today, but you know how they always, the LDS missionaries are always in twosomes. One of them was called to go to a different city. So it was a transitional time for me. And I kind of felt lonely in this town and realizing I was going to be out there for 2 years. And so I guess it was a song with some hope, something that made me feel good. And it's the first song on the CD, and it's very down tempo, and it's probably not, you know, they say you're not supposed to start or end a musical on a slow song. I don't know if that rule applies to albums, but I definitely broke that rule on this record.
I see the sky, but the air is gray. Just say goodbye to my friend today. I'm standing alone in this strange town. But I gotta get back to where I will be found. And I will find my way. The work I do is strange. The nature of the job has never changed. Just put another calendar.
my friend today.
Why do you write music?
Oh, I don't think that I have a choice with writing music. It's a way to express myself. It's kind of like when you write in a journal, it's sort of a way that I want to capture things that have happened in my life. I also think that it's a community kind of thing. When I write music, I'm also thinking of the listener. And I remember growing up on music, and my older brothers had a DJ company in Chicago. And I just remember it was a very social experience. I think about music as something that people can share and should be part of our everyday lives.
And what inspired you to do openly gay music?
When I was living in Louisville, Texas, and I was delivering pizzas for Pizza Hut, there was a radio show that would come on Sunday nights, and they would talk about out music. And I had never even thought of it. It never even occurred to me. And they were talking about songwriters and performers in New York and how they wouldn't switch the pronouns. They wouldn't compromise. They sounded very fearless to me. And then I started thinking, well, why don't I just write music that's out? And I wish I could have thought of it on my own, but it was definitely eye-opening and very liberating. And it was at a time when I was just coming out to myself. And so I thought it was really important because I thought that there was an absence of that in the culture. And I felt very isolated because of that, I think. And, you know, I look forward to when it's not even a thing, where it's just that's the normal way to be, is just to be honest, not to lie through music.
Do you remember what that radio show was?
I was listening to KNON in Dallas, and they were doing Lambda Weekly, and they were, I guess, feeding This Way Out. It was audiophile. And so I was actually inspired by the radio to do out music.
The reason I asked, I already knew the answer from our emails, is that I think that's very cool because audiophile is the music segment of This Way Out. And
okay.
I wasn't involved with that at that time when you heard it. But a few years later, I became a co-producer of Audiophile. So that kind of brings it full circle for you.
Yeah, every Sunday night they would play Audiophile, and I would look forward to it. That was like my favorite night to work because I could listen to that. I had a desire to want to do honest music from that. And so it really opened my eyes from this guy in this small town in Texas.
Talk about the song Immigrant Fish Out of Water.
Well, I was having a lot of trouble in Texas. I moved there with my parents when I was 15, but I wanted to go back north. And then I also had a desire to go to New York City. And, you know, I met some of my best friends are from Texas, and it's a great place. But I felt kind of trapped because, I didn't have any money. I couldn't leave. And I kind of felt like a fish out of water, you know. People giving me a hard time for the music that I would be listening to. I might be listening to some funk music or disco music in, you know, certain neighborhoods. I guess you're not supposed to play that.
I was stopped by the Texas State Patrol. Didn't like the sound on my radio. Guess you never heard a heat wave. Do you like my shoes? Do you want to trade? I was told by a man of the cloth that it's not good to be so soft. He didn't approve of the love I made. Said that I was lost and he was saved. Sometimes feel like a fish out of water. At times forget I'm not from here. The spirit longs for a much larger world. Made a vow with my co-conspirator to immigrate up north together. Said we give up all our loves if we let another year get the best of us. Then we'd be where the dreamers go.
fish out of water. At times forget I'm not from here. The spirit lost from my larger world. Been waiting for like 5 years ago. Gonna steal a rat if I need to. There isn't much that I would not do. I may love someone though it's not fair. Sanity. Wake up tomorrow, I'll be 70. But hey, that's just another year. By the way things look, I'll still be here.
Have a unique quote-unquote day job. Could you talk about that?
Right. Every week I'm traveling to a new city. I play keyboards with the circus. I am a circus musician by trade. I'm a sideman. The circus, though, is quite different, though. You're living on a circus train. You know, you're performing with two-legged performers and four-legged performers for audiences in all the biggest arenas in the country. So a lot of interesting things can come from that. It's really nice to work with professional musicians every day. We have a 9-piece traveling band. It's 4 horn players and a rhythm section. And the music that we do is actually pretty modern, and it was composed by Hollywood composers. It's pretty wild. You get to see the country. You know, there's probably been at least 90 cities that I've played in the United States. 10,000 people in the audience. We just finished performing at Madison Square Garden last week. That's definitely the pinnacle. That's the highlight, to be able to go there and be in the city and perform there.
I know from your website that besides being a circus band performer, you do other musical work. Could you talk about that?
In addition to the being a sideman with the circus, you know, I write and record my own music in the train room, original singer-songwriter kind of stuff, usually pop rock. But I also work on instrumental music that I put out, that mainly hoping that it's something that can be placed in either film or television or radio, some sort of usage, you know, something that I put in a music library. I'm hoping that someday I'll be able to segue into doing film scoring, but as long as I'm on the road, it's going to be kind of difficult, because that's sort of the thing that a director is going to want to collaborate on in person. And I feel like I had a lot of success with doing Strange Town, because I proved that I could make a record on a train room. You know, I had a lot of musicians that would come into the room one at a time because it's so small. But then half the musicians were recorded remotely all over the country. Different people, some friends that I knew, some former Ringling musicians, and also people that I just found on Google who had websites.
Talk about the song, I'll Give You What You Want.
This is a classic case of getting hit on by somebody who's straight or married or has a girlfriend. I think with this song, I'm thinking that this is a person that's trapped in a situation. This is not somebody who's bisexual. This is not somebody who is a Kinsey 2 or 1, and they're happily married, but they have this little that they want to explore. This is somebody who's gay but didn't have a choice or didn't know they had one, and they got married and they're living this life that's a lie. I wanted to write something that was sort of, to challenge how they got there. I wanted to make them feel good, I think.
You're caught with an invitation to watch movies on your couch. Did you forget to mention your wife had left the house? You said she would be working late, that we would be alone.
The next song I want to ask about is How Do You Know You're in Love?
Yeah, this is just writing a song about something that I experienced when I moved to New York. And I wanted something a little bit lighter. A lot of the songs were kind of heavy. I wanted something that was lighter and more feel good. And this was a song about infatuation, you know. I'm using the word love, but really when you know, that first week or first month of getting to know somebody and just that rush of feelings that you have in hormones. And I wanted something that was sort of innocent and happy and upbeat. And so it's sort of a happy-go-lucky gay love song.
What's ahead for you musically?
I've always been writing and recording, and so I do have some, I guess I should call it back catalog. I have probably 3 albums worth of material that I need to touch up and put out that I'm really looking forward to doing. Plus, you know, I have material for a new album as well. So I'm really, really sort of chomping at the bit wanting to get into that. But of course, the challenge with that is I feel like I'm trying to make up for lost time. I didn't always have studio gear that was this good, and so I want to put all that out, but at the same time I'm doing 10 shows a week with the circus, and so it's a little frustrating that it, you know, is taking so long.
How dare your job get in the way of your art?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, gosh darn it. Well, Strangetown is a bit of a reaction to the circus, because everything we do, it's like ESPN music on adrenaline. It's just louder and faster and faster. And so I'm not at all surprised that Strangetown is what I did in my off time, you know, at nights and on our travel days. It's something that's just real slow, down-tempo material.
I had a little fun with Ryan when I asked him to record a drop. And a drop is a clip you can drop in during a show with an artist plugging the show.
Hi, this is Ryan States, and you're listening to Out Radio. Want me to do it again?
Yeah, do that one again.
Hi, this is Ryan States, and you're listening to Out Radio.
That's better. It's less of a question. Like, you're listening to Out Radio?
Yeah, we don't want that. Really?
And you can find out more about Ryan and his new CD, Strangetown, at www.ryanstates.com. And he has a hyphen between his first and last name in that address. I've got one more song to close the show, and I want to thank you for listening and thank Diana and Ryan for the interviews. I've got 2 more, I think, very interesting interviews in part 2. where I got to visit with Amy Campbell and Lori Michaels. And there's a part three, with no interviews but lots of really neat music. For Ryan, it was hard to pick my closing song, as I like so many from his CD. But I think my favorite from the album is probably Better When You're Older.
I guess I was writing it for me, but I was also thinking of other people who are coming out. This is the year that I came out to myself, and I intentionally wrote it like in the key of C. I wanted it to be something that other people could play easily if they wanted to. I wanted it to be a song to tell somebody that they're not alone when they're coming out. When I started it, I was really just thinking about what I wish someone had said to me when I was younger. And what would that be? And I try to put that into music. And it starts out singing about a boy named Paul. Well, I'm really pretty much singing about myself. You know, there's no real hiding that, you know. Just being picked on when you're a kid and being called names, even though you don't even necessarily self-identify as being gay. It seemed like such a wild, novel idea at the time to be comforting someone, saying, yeah, it's okay, this is normal, this is good, this is healthy, because this is everything that's the opposite of what I grew up hearing. And why I didn't really identify as being gay, because the list of what that meant, I didn't identify with any of those things that came with that, but I knew that I was attracted to men. Okay, well, now I know that, you know, there's nothing wrong with this, there's nothing to be ashamed of. But then I was still thinking, well, there's a lot of people who don't know that yet.
Told him he was lucky. They said life is best when you're a child, but it gets harder after a while. Clinging to the many I love you, conditional love. Every day.